Somebody shout, Holy Ghost flow. Job 36:11. Let's read this together. If they obey and what? If they obey and what? Serve him, they shall what? Spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Today is the day of first fruits offering, amen? But before we get into that, again, there's something the Lord wanted me to share with everybody, because he said that there's a way you can ensure that you spend all the rest of your days in prosperity and all the rest of your years in pleasures. We know about tithing already. We know about offering. We know about all the giving and everything else. And the giving, this still has something to do with giving as well. But I want you to just apply this in every area of your life. If you just obey God and serve God with your life, God makes you a promise. You will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. He didn't say if you go get 10 jobs. He said, if you obey and serve him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Somebody shout, my days and years are about to change. Yeah, my days and my years. Why are my days and years about to change? Because I obey God. And I serve God. I serve God with my life. I don't just serve him on Sunday mornings. I serve him with my life. Now, again, what does that mean? How does that look? Again, it doesn't mean that you're perfect and you don't do nothing wrong. It just means that when you miss it, you get it right. Because see, what happens is this. What happens is people will read stuff like this and they say, if I obey and serve him, and I ain't going to never do this again. And I ain't going to never do that again. I ain't never going back here again. I ain't never do. And you know, we get this thing and then all of a sudden we mess up and we feel like we can't do nothing no more. I'm not making a way for you to mess up. I'm just saying if you mess up, and you probably will, because we all do. Go and put somebody, say, you know he's talking to you right now. Go ahead, tell him, you know he's talking to you. We do mess up. But when we mess up, depending on what you told God and what you've been telling everybody else, will determine if you get back up again. Because there's a whole lot of folks done stopped their relationship with God because they messed up and they did something. They was going around telling everybody what they wasn't going to do no more. You try to make everybody believe you was more spiritual than you actually are right now. You try to make everybody think you speak in tongues 23 hours and 30 seconds a day. And then what ends up happening is we end up living life. Because listen, y'all, we still got to live life. And in living life, we got to understand that everything that happens in life, because there's some things in life that's going to make you mad. That's going to make you angry. That's going to make you have an attitude. That's going to make you not want to serve God no more. Well, that's not me. I always want to serve God. Listen, there's still some times now that I'll be like, God, you know, I don't know how to break this to you. You know, like when you got to break up with somebody and you don't really know how to tell them that, you know what I mean? Hey, don't call me. I'm going to call you. You understand? Like, but there's times that those things happen. And whenever they happen, you got to know how to bounce back. And sometimes when they happen, it's because of something you do. And the devil's job is to get you so far into yourself that you think that I can no longer do this. God is no longer going to use me. God no longer hears me. God no longer pays attention to me. And God is no longer using me. So what's the use of me even doing any of this stuff no more? Because listen, y'all been doing this for a long time, and I've seen person after person that was on a good track, but they kept telling everybody what they was never going to do again and how perfect they are. And they was on other people about what they was doing, and you going to hell, and you going to hell, and you going to hell, and you going to hell because you ain't right with God, and you ain't right with God. Then all of a sudden something happened to them, and now there was no, and they couldn't even ask somebody to pray for them because they were so hard on everybody else that they just disappeared. So I'm not making a way for you to miss it with God. I'm just telling you if and when you do. don't stay there. You got to have people around you that if you mess up, they say, boy, get up. Girl, get up. What you doing? Yeah, you did it. All right. Ask God to forgive you. Get it right. Don't go back there again. Next time you want to go there, you call me. Next time you want to do that, you call me. And I'm going to come get you. Come on, can we make that commitment to each other that we're going to make sure that we stay here, obeying him and serving him? Because if we always say we're going to do ministry and life how, then we got to mean that. That means if I see one of my brothers and sisters down or about to go in a certain way, I should be able to come check you. You should be able to come check me. Hey, what you doing? I saw what you put up on Facebook. Where was you at? You know you ain't had no business doing that. What, why do you even have that on Facebook anyway? Take that down. I'm talking about regular stuff. Y'all want to talk about spiritual stuff all the time. I'm talking about some regular natural stuff that happens Monday through Saturday. Because on Sunday we come, we put on these faces and, you know, we all spiritual and, you know, I got my little chain on, you understand? I got my little stuff, you know what I mean? But there's some real stuff that happens Monday through Saturday. And if I'm not careful, I will isolate myself so that when I'm sinking, ain't nobody else there to help me. And then we got to be spiritual enough that if somebody comes to us and say, hey, I'm dealing with this, I need some help, that I don't need nobody to be like, you know, well, I don't know if I can help you. You may need to call somebody else because, you know, I'm still in my, you know, still in my thing with the Lord. And, you know, I just can't deal with that right now. Because sometimes people try to act too spiritual, like they don't know what you're talking about and they don't know what you're dealing with. Your issue may not be my issue, but you still got one. My issue may be seen and yours may be hidden. So just because yours is hidden don't make you any better than I am. So we need brothers and sisters that'll say, hey, I don't care what you in. If I saw you anointed yesterday, even though I see what you're doing right now, I still see you anointed. Because sometimes when we know what people are doing, we're like, well, I don't need them praying for me. You ain't going to be my leader. You know, you ain't going to be this. No. I'm the same anointed one because, you know, there's a lot of people that whenever they find stuff out about people, then all of a sudden they don't think you anointed no more. But no, there was the same anointed before you knew what you knew. So just because you find something out, don't make them less anointed. Say amen to this. Because again, sometimes people's stuff come out public, but yours stay private. But because yours is private, don't give you a right to look at those that came out public in a certain way. Because again, you're still dealing with what you're dealing with privately. But then people still look at you like you anointed, but you have a nerve to look at somebody else like they're not anointed because theirs is public. So whenever we're helping, the Bible says, if you see your brother in a fault, it says, those of you who are spiritual, restore such a one, lest you find yourself in a similar situation. So you may not be going through nothing right now, but if you're not careful, the way you deal with your brother or sister may put you in something that requires somebody to come to your aid. If they obey and serve, who is they? They is I am, church. That's who they was written for. Say it was written for us? Yeah, it was written for y'all. If they obey and serve. The Bible says that God wants your obedience more than he wants your sacrifice. What does that mean? Sacrifice means, these are all the things I'm doing for you to show you that I love you. God says, I don't even want that. God don't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. What does that mean? If God just tells you to do something, do that. Don't try to do a whole bunch of stuff for God thinking that that's going to get God's attention. God says, I don't want your sacrifice. I just want your obedience. Well, God, I did this today and I did that and I did that, but I told you to call such and such and say you sorry. I don't need your sacrifice. I need your obedience. God, well, I spoke to everybody in church today, but I walked past the one because they got an attitude with me and they get on my nerves, and if they say something, it's gonna be something in the church. So I just rather just go my own way. And God says, I want you to go get it right with them. But God, I didn't do nothing. Go get it right with them. He wants your obedience, not your sacrifice. Go and put somebody and say, he's still talking to you. Go ahead, tell him. He's still talking to you. Yeah, he's still talking to you. Yeah, go and put them toes out so I can come step on them a little bit. Come on. I'm stepping on mine too. I got to be the first partaker of whatever I tell you. If they obey, everybody say, I obey God. Remember, obedience is not what you want to do for God. Obedience is what God tells you to do. Obedience is not what I want to do for God, as a way of saying, God, this is how I love you. Because remember, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? So you can't call him Lord, or you can't say he's the Lord of your life until you start obeying what he tells you to do. And normally what he tells you to do is going to embarrass your flesh. It'll embarrass your flesh. It'll humble you. But the Bible says if you humble yourself, you won't have to get humbled. So if he's telling you to do something, you do it because God said so, and not because it seems like, because again, we like to do everything that makes us feel good, that makes us look good. But what if you're told to do something and it's going to make you look like you a rug and somebody stepping on you? Will you still do it then? Or do you always need to look like you always right? Because I'm asking for forgiveness, but I'm going to tell you how wrong you are first. And I'm going to tell you how you made me feel first. God said, I didn't say to do none of that. God said, I just told you to go get it right and for you to go apologize and you to repent. Well, God, what about them? What if they don't say? Because they the one that did it. God says, shut up. I told you to do what I said and then let me handle them. If they don't never apologize to you, it don't matter. Because sometimes we apologize and we're looking for one to come back. Well, I'd apologize. Okay, so you got something to say too? They like, no, I ain't got nothing to say. Thank you. I'm not doing anything to get something in return. I'm obeying God. Because when you obey God, you're not expecting anything in return, but there is a return coming on your obedience because you obeyed God. If they obey him, somebody say it again. Say, I obey God and serve him. Serve means that I got to worship him. I worship him. What do you mean worship him? I always worship God. I'm talking about in everything that you do. Because sometimes we worship other things. Sometimes we worship other people. Some folks don't even be married, but you still putting this individual before God. Some of you are married and you still put your spouse before God. Your spouse is not before God. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your boo, whoever they are to you, they are not before God. God is first before everybody. And if you can't deal with my relationship with God, you can't be with me. Hallelujah. If they obey and serve him, that means everything and everybody in my life got to know who I serve. I said everything and everybody in my life got to know who I serve. That means if I need something from God, I don't burn candles for it. I don't burn sage for it. I don't use crystals for it. Say amen, y'all. Because Christians are getting into a whole lot of other stuff. And the stuff actually be doing something, but it ain't the Holy Ghost. It's inviting spirits, but it ain't holy. Spirits are moving. Spirits are coming into your house. I just need to put it around me so it gets my energy. No. Yeah. Y'all better stop. If you born again, you full of the Holy Ghost, that ain't for you. If they obey and serve him. Well, they had, you know, the censers in the Bible where the priests would have the censers, and that's the same thing as a sage. That ain't what that is. The censers had a certain mixture of oils and smells and ointments in order to make a certain smell that God told Moses to have Aaron and his sons to make, because he says that whenever you're in the holy place, he says, I want the place that you're making for me to smell like where I am. So there were certain smells that they had to put into these censers. So when the priest went through there, and he wasn't putting it on himself. He was making the place that God was going to inhabit comfortable for God. Like, if there's a certain smell that I like, and then I said, okay, whenever I come to your house, put this particular candle in my room because I wanted to smell like home. Do you know what the sage is? The sage. And you know, y'all gotta really find out what God says about stuff, because people that ain't in the that ain't in God and ain't in the Holy Ghost, they know their stuff. And we don't. So whenever they say what they say, they be having us like, okay, well, maybe I need some sage too then, you know? But you should be surprised how many Christians, how many pastors are saging. Pastors, bishops, apostles, prophets, saging. And if we just look at where stuff come from, we could tell what's God and what's not God. Amen. See, so that's why you got to understand who God is and the word of God and what God had his people do, because there's so many things going on today, people will make you think that all the stuff that we're doing is God. And I just want you all to realize that where you all are going, you cannot afford. God said it like this. He said, Moses, tell the children of Israel, which he's telling I Am Church today as well, you shall not do as the Egyptians do. Amen. The Egyptians were the people that you just came out from, the world. Egypt represents the world in that particular day. He said, listen, you shall not do as the Egyptians do. He says, because I'm your Lord and you're my people. He says, so there's some new things I want you to start doing, and there's some old things I want you to get rid of. Because all the children of Israel knew was where they came from. So there was a bunch of stuff that they was doing, because that was just a regular way of life. But God says, since everything is new, I want you to serve me and not those other gods. Because all that other stuff we got going on and people be doing and everything else belongs to another God. And every time you do it, you use it, it don't matter what song you sing on Sunday morning, you're still worshiping another God. And we don't want to have it to where, you know, we're doing all this stuff on Sunday morning, but then we actually go worship during the week. We come to church on Sunday, but we go worship during the week. We come to church on Sunday, but we go serve our God during the week. Like I said, all these, you know, crystals, all these, you know, these, what do they call? Like, it's not really home remedies. It's like little voodoo secrets is what I call them. And some of my people know what I'm talking about, because they be like, well, what about this? I said, that's voodoo. What about this? That's voodoo too? Amen. Is what? Dream catchers. Yeah, those things that you put up. Yeah, absolutely. The devil. Anybody catching no dreams? The Lord gives you dreams, and then you can ask the Holy Ghost for the interpretation. We almost done, but I want you to just realize, I want you to realize that there are things that we do and things that we put in place into our life that we're wondering why we can't get the breakthroughs that we have. And God says, I'm waiting for you to stop serving them other gods. Your Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death and destruction. Stuff that was passed down from earlier generations don't mean it's God. Listen, just because it works don't mean it's God. Because the stuff be working. It works. Until it don't. But watch this, y'all. Because there's things, what's that one, Hattie? You told me about one. I always think about it. What is it, Hattie? Come on, tell it. What was it? You have to put something in a closet. You put an egg in what? In a cup and put it in the cabinet. And what is that supposed to do? It's supposed to keep the kids from not what? Crying whenever they're teething. So, again, you know, y'all got to be from like down south or something like that to know what that one is. You know what I mean? You know, and there's just different things that people do like that. The stuff works. Put an egg in the cup, put it in the cabinet, and all of a sudden the kids don't cry and stuff whenever they teething. It works. But it ain't God. Look, some of y'all said, I got a baby right now. Let me go give me some eggs. Don't y'all do that. I know eggs are expensive right now, but let me go and get them eggs real quick. But it's all kind of stuff like that, y'all. And some of y'all know some of the stuff that I'm saying, you know, when, you know, stuff like that, you know, putting, you know, shoes at the door and putting them shoes inside the door, and that mean a person can't come in no more, and all, you know, like, what is y'all doing? You know what I mean? You know, and you know, if you want a certain man or a certain woman to love you, you got to do this, you got to do that. That stuff is, that ain't God. The Holy Ghost didn't tell you to do that. But folks be saying that they heard this. Just because you heard it don't mean it was God. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow, which means there's another voice talking too. You just got to know which one is the Lord and which one is a stranger. I know which one is a stranger by which one don't line up with the word of God. Nothing about no eggs and cabinets in the Bible. But it works. Yeah, doing stuff with salt and doing stuff with hair and doing something with dirt and doing stuff with water. And listen, there is a spirit of witchcraft and voodoo taking over the church. And the church is just calling it supernatural, acting like God and the Holy Ghost is in it. There must be a difference between holy and unholy. Righteous and unrighteous, clean and unclean. If they obey and serve him. We see how people worship God in the Bible, both Old Testament and New Testament. We see how people worship God in the Old Testament and New Testament. And a lot of the stuff that's going on now, what none of that included. So where do we get this stuff? How do we okay this stuff? Yeah, go throw all that stuff away, every bit of it, and repent. We were just talking about this yesterday, but if you got a picture of dead Jesus in your house, take that down too. Number one, we don't even know if that's Jesus. We don't know who that man is. That ain't Jesus. That's some strange man that got some long hair, you know, and all of that. That is not Jesus. You say, but he just brings so much peace. Take it down. Why do I got to take it down? Because your Bible says you shall not have any graven images. That's your Bible. You don't know what God looked like. You don't know what Jesus looked like. None of us do. Take that man out your house. Amen. That's some man that you got in there. Yeah, that's some random man you got hanging up in your house. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to get us to go to this next place. And there may be things that's just this little small. The Bible says it's the small foxes that spoil the whole vine. We worry about all the big stuff when it's the little stuff. Now, I don't know if anybody in here says this, but I did study on it because every time I heard about it, I was like, something just ain't right. And then I looked it up and I said, oh, that's why it ain't right. My spirit just, you know, went a certain way when I kept hearing it. But again, if you say it, just keep looking straight. Ain't nobody gonna even gonna know you say it. Because I don't know if any of y'all say it. But this thing about Grand Rising. Do you know what Grand Rising actually came from and what it actually means? That's what I'm saying. Like we hear stuff and we just pick up on stuff because it sounds good. Make you sound like you're super spiritual. Grand Rising. It's a God. And where Grand Rising came from is because every morning this God, who was a male, would wake up and he would have a erection. And it's called Grand Rising. See how crazy that is? Look it up. You'll see it for yourself. Look it up. It's an Egyptian god. Comes from Egypt. And the majority of stuff that's going on in America still come from Egypt. The Eye of Horus. A lot of saved folks got that eye on them, and you wondering why you got spiritual foolishness going on in your life. We have to become knowledgeable about these seemingly insignificant things. Again, there's pastors and leaders wearing this stuff and wearing the Eye of Horus and wearing Horus himself and, you know, all this Egypt stuff because, you know, we black. Y'all better get off that. This ain't got nothing to do with being black. This has to do with being born again. I'm a born again believer that happens to be black. I'm not a black believer. I'm a believer first. I happen to be the color of black. My blackness don't come before my salvation. Because that's still going in the body of Christ as well. There's a black church, they call it, and then there's a white church, an evangelical church, or this church. No, there's one church. There's one faith. There's one baptism. And there's one name that unites us all, which is Jesus. If they obey and serve him, we almost done. They shall spend their what? Days in prosperity. How many of you want every day you wake up, you are prosperous? In every area of your life. If we just learn to obey God and then serve him, that means we got to get rid of everything that ain't serving God. You may have to do some research on some stuff because there may be some stuff you say, well, let me check on this because I know they told me if I put this up under my bed for 2 or 3 days, this going to happen. Yeah. But you'd be surprised at how many people do stuff like that. Because we were just told that that's what we got to do to get these particular results. But in the Word of God, there's instructions to get whatever results you want. You just have to seek for it, the Bible says. You got to look for it. The Bible says if you search for God and search for wisdom, search for understanding like you do for hidden treasure, then that's when you'll find it. In other words, if you knew there was $1 billion in your house somewhere, would you still be going up, you know, to all these different places you're going to? No, I'm shutting down everything. I'm turning my phone off. Don't y'all call me. Don't y'all come over. I got something I need to look for. I ain't eating. I ain't sleeping. It's $1 billion in my house somewhere. Don't ask me for nothing. I'm looking for this something that means something to me. So until knowledge and understanding and wisdom means something like that to you, you ain't going to look for it like that. If it comes, it comes. If it don't, it don't. That's like $1 billion is sitting in your house somewhere, but you still going to work every day, living a regular life, letting that billion just sit there because it don't mean nothing to you yet. You don't understand the value of it yet. But when you understand the value of a thing, all of a sudden, everything stops until I find what's valuable to me. Every day is going to be prosperous for you. I said every day will be prosperous for you. It says, and also their years will be pleasurable. Come on, y'all, for the rest of your life, every year you're going to be able to look back and say, God's been good to me. Now, right now we say it because we say, okay, no matter if it was good or if it was bad, you know, I still going to give God praise. But we ought to get tired of that kind of praise. Because some stuff we go through it, but it's like, okay, God, next time just let me know what to do. And that way I ain't got to go through all of that because, you know, I done been through enough. Come on, if you done been through enough, come on. Testify a little bit. If you done been through stuff that you say, God, is there any other way I can deal with this? Your years are about to be pleasurable. That you're going to be able to look over the whole year and say, God was with me in January. God was with me and showed up for me in faith. You're going to be able to look at every month and see the goodness of God was manifested in your life. So how is this going to happen? Let's go to the next scripture and we out of here. Job 22:21. Acquaint when? Come on, acquaint when? Now yourself with him, with God. And when you acquaint yourself with God, be at peace. Whatever you find out about God, be at peace. Whatever you know about God, be at peace. Thereby, good shall come unto you. But you got to acquaint yourself now with God. And as you're acquainting yourself with him, you'll learn how to obey him and you'll learn how to serve him. When he tells you to do something, when he tells you to give something, again, if the Lord instructs you to do something, you got to learn how to do it because you are telling God, God, this is what you're asking me to do. And God is saying, I'm going to use this situation to gather information on you, Tim, to determine if I can release to you the next thing I already have for you. So based on what I do with what he's telling me to do right now determines how far off this next blessing is. Your obedience can bring whatever's next for you into your now. Or your disobedience can cause it to be delayed another year. Go and put some message. I ain't got another year. Go ahead, tell him. I ain't got another year. I do not got another year. I really don't. I can't do it no more, Al. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Somebody help me. All right. Acquaint now yourself with God and be at peace. The Bible says, whatsoever things are good, lovely, honest, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things and the God of peace. He says, whenever you acquaint yourself with God, even if things are going haywire in your life, you're still going to be at peace. Because I become acquainted with him so much, I know that even though it looked crazy, it really ain't crazy. I said, even though it looked crazy, it really ain't crazy. Your Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God is trying to get us to look more at him than we look at the stuff we in. If we look at him, he never changes. The stuff in your life can change. So never look at stuff in your life like it's the end, because it's not. It's waiting on you to believe God so it can change everything in your life. Say amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise today. Oh, yeah. Mm.